need to preach, teach, whatever, and I may have to slow way down today more than normal or whatever, you know, do it different because I may get my cough. If I do, just bear with me for a moment or two, and I'll try to get over it. And I wouldn't blame you two for moving back a couple more pews, but no, I'm not. If I come down that direction, you might ought to. And anyway, go with me, if you would, to Matthew, the 25th chapter. We'll read the first 13, verses 1 through 13, and we're going to talk about the condition of the church, or the condition of the raptured church, this morning. Several years ago, my son-in-law, he's enamored with this guy named Tim Hill. He's a very powerful preacher for the Church of God. He's the national superintendent now. I don't know what they call theirs, maybe bishop, superintendent. But Brother Tim Hill is now the national superintendent. Well, about 10, 12 years ago, I guess my preaching was so lacking. And Stephen was so hungry for some good stuff that he bought me about 6 books of Tim Hill sermons. And we're going to share one of them today. Since my wife shared mine last week, I'm going to share Tim's today. I won't do it near like he does. Don't preach like he does. He's a very powerful preacher. But I want to bring this thought that he has here about the condition of the raptured church to you today. Maybe make you think a little bit about yourself and about your condition. Chapter 25 of the book of Matthew. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. And afterward also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Let's pray. Father God, I just pray that you'd open the eyes of our hearts today. Give us ears to hear. Help us to understand what you're saying. Help us, Lord, to apply your word to ourselves so that we might be rapture ready. In Jesus' name, amen. John, the 14th chapter, in the 3rd verse, and I want to turn over there. I thought I had it written down. Just bear with me for just a minute. And you know this scripture, and I do too, but I just want to make sure I say it correctly. It says, Jesus said, I go and prepare a place for you. I will come, let me read it again. And if I go and prepare a place for you, John 14:3, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus made a promise that he's going to come again. And there's an awareness at the end of this age. How many realize we're in the end of the age? There's an awareness at the end of the age that we are living in the closing hours, I should say, of the age of grace. We are in the closing hours. Jesus is coming soon. The message of his coming is still an urgent one, and should be proclaimed frequently by those who live in daily anticipation of his return. Now, you understand that in the day and age that we live, it's easy to get busy. And it's easy to get overwhelmed by daily cares, the cares of life and the things that you do. And if you're not careful, even as a devout Christian, you will get your eyes off of the fact that Jesus is returning again soon. We've heard it so many times. We almost are like the scoffers in the last day what Peter talks about. Where is the promise of his coming? And we almost get to that place if we're not careful. We're so busy living life that we forget that he's coming soon, and that everything we do is as a Christian revolves around the fact that Jesus is coming. And we're trying to stay ready for his coming. Paul gave a chronological listing of the events surrounding the rapture in 1 Thessalonians, I should say, the 4th chapter, verses 15 through 18. And these verses were written to people who were concerned about the deceased, their deceased loved ones that had gone on before them, and the role that they would play in the rapture. And Paul outlines a supernatural sequence of events in the following way. First, he talked about the return. For the Lord shall descend. The Bible says the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout. And then there's a resurrection. It says the dead and in Christ shall rise first. So those who have gone on before us, like Sister Dolly and some of your other loved ones, they're up there. They've made the journey already. They made the cross. They've crossed over to the other side. But one of these days, they will descend to heaven first. They're going to come out of the grave. By a supernatural thing. Don't try to figure it out. They're not laying in the grave right now. They're not there. Their bodies are there, but they're not there. They'll be reunited with that body, their glorified bodies, and they'll rise up first. And so Paul tells us the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then the rapture's going to take place. Or basically, I guess you should say the dead in Christ are going to rise first. They're already there. Something just quickened to my spirit. We always think they're coming out of the grave, but really, we've probably mistranslated that. They're already there. The dead in Christ are already there. And you read Revelation, some of the study we've been doing recently, they're there. Always been taught that they're going to come back and then they're going to rise out of the ground and we're going to catch up with them. About the time they hit the ground level, then we'll all go up with them. Well, I'm not so sure that's so, but we won't go there this morning. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then the rapture takes place. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up, or shall be caught away with them. So Paul's outlining it here. We're going to get out of here one of these days, and then there'll be a reunion. We shall meet them in the air. We're going to meet Jesus in the air, and the Bible gives us an assurance there in 1 Thessalonians. It says to comfort one another with these words. I mean, if we didn't have the hope of the rapture, sometimes we'd be very miserable, wouldn't we? We wouldn't have a lot to look forward to. In this life only, Paul said, if I have hope, I'd be a very miserable person. But he had hope in a life beyond this life. Paul, probably one of the most devout Christians ever walked the face of the earth, and yet he longed to go to heaven. He probably did more for the cause of Christ than any other person throughout all of history. As far as we know, he's done so much, but yet he longed to go to heaven, and he had a perfect view, or a right view of that. So Jesus is coming, but he's coming for the saved. He's coming for a bride. He's coming for a church twice born and blood bought. You're not going to go to heaven on a two-bit Cracker Jack salvation. You're going to go because you've been blood bought. Because the blood of Jesus has cleansed you from all unrighteousness. You're going to go because you're living with your lamps burning with oil, a supply of oil for your lamp. You're not going just because you got up today and said, I think I'll go to heaven. You're going because you've been born again. And so we want to understand that today. I'm ready to go to heaven. And I'll go today if the Lord calls me. And it may happen. Who knows? We don't know for sure. I'm not sure. Some people want to say that there's things happening that paints a very negative picture of the last day church. It's the opinion of some that the church is just barely going to survive. I'm beginning to think that's in error. Others see the churches of Jesus Christ as halt and maimed and crippled and listless. Other critics see the church as a tired old man whose usefulness has been spent and whose heart hearts may stop beating at any moment. Well, I want to say it like the New Henson said it, we're the old ship of Zion, and we might be sitting a little bit low in the water, but we're the church, and we are not going down. We are going up. We're the church of the living God. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we're not going down. I think there may be those in the church that are less vigorous about their salvation, but the vast majority are just opposite of that. There's still a militant, vibrant, visible church. People who are still still powerful and being fruitful for the body of Christ and for the kingdom of God. At His coming, Jesus Christ, or I should say the church will go sweeping through the gates and after having reaped the world harvest. There's a harvest field out there. That's a whole nother sermon. And so we want to talk about Matthew 25 for just a few moments this morning. The number one thing we want to talk about, the church will be pure. The church will be pure. The virgins in this text speak of the purity of the church. The Bible's likened unto 10 virgins. And so, make no mistake about it, since sin cannot enter into the kingdom and a sinful church will not be taken in the rapture, you better get your right, you better get your ducks in order. You better make things right. There's too many people with too many false ideas about who's going to heaven. It's only the blood bought, the mercy sought, those who have been born again, the righteous, the redeemed of Jesus Christ, those who have accepted Christ as their Savior, repented of their sins and taken up their cross and are following Jesus Christ. Those that are doing their best to live a pure, holy life. You need to be shunning sin. Amen. Shun sin. Live for Jesus. Make no mistake about it. The sin will not enter into the kingdom, and a sinful church will not make the rapture. It won't make it. So, preacher, I make mistakes sometime. I'm not talking about your mistakes. I'm talking about a person who does their best to sin and still wants to be a Christian. Does all kinds of things and call himself of Christ. There's too much of that going on, isn't there? Doing anything they want to do, saying what they want to say, talking like they want to say, and living like they want to live, and then say, I'm going to heaven. And then the next verse, next thing you know, they're doing something totally degrading and so totally sinful, and you wonder how in the world could, Bible says bitter and sweet water don't proceed from the same. You can't curse and carry on and still be a Christian. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So, I mean, there's a lot of things we might do. So 1 John 3:3 says this, he that hath hope in himself, have hope in him will purify himself even as Christ is pure. You have hope in yourself. So I make mistakes sometimes. I will. Okay. What do you do with when you make a mistake? You purify yourself. You ask God to forgive you. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps and keep going. You fall back one step, you take two more forward. You get up and you keep going. You don't get up to the edge of the pool hoping you'll fall in. You step back from the edge. Amen. Have you ever seen people that mama said, don't get in that water? Okay, mama. Next thing you know, you fall in. Well, I didn't get in it. I fell. Well, you got so close that you couldn't keep from falling. You lost your balance. Stay away from it. God says it's sin is sin. Quit trying to get up as close to it and rub up against it and indulge in it just a little bit and say, well, that won't hurt me. It will hurt you when you begin to sin willfully. The Bible says there's no more sacrifice for sin. Quit sinning willfully. Amen. Amen. So if we sin willfully, don't want to do that, do you? If you have the hope of the rapture in you, you purify yourself even as Christ is pure. You do your best to live like Jesus Christ. Well, we used to sing a song, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, to be like Him. You know, that's all I ask, just to be like Him. And boy, we'd sing that and mean it. And I tell you what, maybe we need to go back to some of those old songs. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And you know, here's my cup, Lord. I lift it up, come and quench this thirsting of my soul. And come on, church. We don't sing those old songs anymore, them old choruses. And you say, well, you want to go back to the past? No, I want you to grab hold of something that will remind you that you got to live for Jesus, that will remind you to fill your cup with the Spirit of God. That's what I want to remind you of. You can't do it by singing, there's a tear in my beer. You can't do it by singing, I've got friends in low places. You can't do it. I don't know any new country songs, so don't ask me to quote any of them. Every once in a while, I turn on Access TV just to see what kind of garbage is still out there, and I can't handle it over a couple of minutes. So I got to go back to John Wayne, Audie Murphy, Jimmy Stewart. I got to go back where all they're doing is beating each other up, shooting each one another, you know, with their guns. Them old movies, they didn't even make holes in their clothes when they bled. You ever know? They didn't even bleed. They get shot dead and they didn't even bleed. That's pretty good, wasn't it? We got to live pure. Got to live pure. A sinning man has lost hope in the coming of the Lord. If you really love Jesus, you really anticipate the coming of the Lord, you will live like you anticipate the coming of the Lord. You will live like it. You will shun the appearance of evil. You will do everything you can to live for Jesus. You won't try to get as close to the world as you can. You want to stay pure. 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing. That's New Testament. I know he's quoting some Old Testament. That's New Testament. And he said, I will receive you. Come out from among them. Well, we don't like that anymore, Pastor. I don't like that stuff. You want us just to not do anything, not have any fun. I want to tell you something. It's a good life living for the Lord. I don't miss any of that old stuff I used to do. Now, I ain't done it in a long time, but I can still remember it. I don't miss all of that. Oh, I know the devil tempts us every once in a while. And we're going to, you know, we're going to have temptation and we're going to have trials and we're going to have difficulties in life. And the devil's going to try to bring you down. He's going to try to take the word like he did Jesus and twist it around and get you to sin. But don't give in to the wiles of the devil. Put on the whole armor of God so that you won't sin against God. Come on, church. Purify yourself. Come out from among. Be separate. The raptured church will not compromise its holiness or the integrity of a Christ-like life. You won't compromise. There's too much compromise going on in the church. We compromise everything. We justify about anything. Think about it. We do. We justify it and we compromise and we justify it. Well, I'm justified today. I'm justified by faith, by the grace of Jesus Christ. I've been justified. And then that justification simply means this, as if I had never done it. I've been made right with Jesus. So you want justification, you then get right with Jesus. And it'd be as if you never sinned because you've been made right. In Leviticus 11:44, and the Bible, the Word of God says, you shall therefore sanctify yourselves and you shall be holy, for I am holy. You can't do it in and of yourself. I understand that. So stay close to Jesus. You won't be able to, it's going to be more difficult to live a holy life if you don't go to church. So go to church. It's going to be more difficult to live a holy life and stay purified and clean and holy in the eyes of God if you don't read your Bible. So read the Word. It's going to be more difficult to stay holy and separate yourself if you don't listen to the right music. So listen to gospel music. It don't have to be my kind of gospel, but listen to something that edifies and builds you up. I'm going to tell you, church, it's good advice. Get yourself, separate yourself, get yourself into the out of this place where God can begin to move and live. Come on now, if you can't live a holy life and watch TV, turn off the TV. If you can't live life and serve God, just do whatever it takes to stay holy. Whatever it takes. Quit justifying your sin. Be holy, it says. Hebrews 12:14 says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Follow peace and live holy. Don't you want to live right with God? Do you want to go in the rapture? Would you rather stick around a while? I don't want to stick around. When that trump of God sounds, I want to hear it. I want to get my feet off the ground. I want to go when He calls me. I want to tell you, there's a call from God for the church to repent and of all sin and return to Him in holiness. We need to come back to Jesus. A sinning people will be earthbound. You'll be earthbound. You're not going to get off the ground when the rapture takes place. A sinning people won't get off the ground. The Bible says this in Psalms 24:3-4. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Clean hands and a pure heart. There's scripture all through there. You can read the King James Version there. It's all through the Bible. Yet we want to say, well, no, wait a minute. Now, I don't believe it that way. Or I don't see it that way. Or I wasn't taught that way. Or what you need to just say, I don't like it that way. My flesh says, I want to do this. But the spirit man says, no, do this. Line up with the Word of God. Secondly, the church, raptured church will be a, not just, first, we're a holy church. We're lining up with the Word of God. We've been born again. Secondly, we'll be a prepared, the raptured church will be a prepared church. It will be a prepared church. Matthew 24:48, if you look over there, it's in the parable of the wise and faithful servant. The Bible, the evil servant said in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. My Lord delays His coming. He wasn't expecting Jesus to come or His master to come back. That's how some in the church are. I don't think He's coming today. I'm not sure He's going to make it. It was Matthew 24:48. My Lord delayeth His coming. And so he didn't expect Him to come, so he thought, because I don't expect Him, I can do what I want to do until I expect Him, and then I will make preparation. Then I will straighten up. Then I will get my ducks in a row. Then I will repent of the sin. Then I will line up to the Word. You can't wait until you expect Him. You have to live in expectation. And if you live in expectation, you live ready. You can't say, well, He's going to delay a little bit longer. The Bible tells us in Matthew 25, it reveals that five of the virgins prepared for the unknown arrival of the groom by having an ample supply of oil on hand for their lamps. You see, what differentiated the two groups was this. One group expect He'd come at any moment, so they had ample oil. The other group didn't, they weren't in a close personal relationship, and so they didn't expect the groom to come at any time. You and I as a church should, if we have a close personal relationship with Jesus, not only are we expecting Him, we are longing for Him to return at any time. So therefore, we stay ready for His return at any time. Fact is, there's often times you'll get up on a Monday morning and you'll look to the east and say, this could be the day. Not every day do we do that, but oftentimes I get up and I think this might be the day. This could be the day. I want to live my life ready. I want to live my life in anticipation. So because of that, I purify myself. They had the ample supply of oil for their lamps. So they, in other words, they were persevering in faith so that when that day and hour arrived, they would be ready to go. So they had lamps. See, all the virgins, all 10 of them left home apparently with enough oil in their lamps to burn for a while. It was the delay of the groom that was the fatal issue. They all began the race faithfully. But because the groom has delayed his coming, because Jesus has delayed his coming, many have ran out of oil. Many's faith has wavered. Many people's power is gone. They don't anticipate. They're not anticipating the coming of the Lord anymore. So the Bible teaches us in verse 44, therefore be also ready, for in such an hour you think not the Son of Man cometh. Stay ready. We must stay ready. If not, it's a fatal issue. See, we have to recognize that Jesus is coming at an unexpected time, in a time not preceded with unmistakable and specific observable signs. That's how we know it's the rapture. If there were specific and observable signs, it means the rapture has already taken place and we were anticipating the coming of Jesus back to set up His kingdom. But because we're the church and the rapture hasn't taken place, there's no real signs. Sure, there's some things going on in the earth and there's some things happening that lets us know that it's imminent, but yet they're not real signs for us as the church. The church has to stay ready. He didn't give us any signs of what would happen right before the rapture. He gave us signs of what would happen right before His return to earth. But that wasn't the rapture. So we have to go by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. We don't have any inexplicable, this is absolutely going to happen, and then Jesus will rapture the church. There's nothing in there. Nothing in there that says that. Now, are there things happening today that lets us know He's coming soon? Yes, but there's no one sign where Jesus said, when this happens, then the church will be raptured. It's not in there. So we have to just stay ready and live by faith. Faith in the Son of God. Faith in the Word of God. Faith that He's coming back for us one of these days. And watch the Bible. Watch, for you know not what hour the Lord comes. You don't know for sure when He's coming, but you know He's coming. So you stay prepared. You keep your wedding garment on. If it gets soiled, you take it to the cleaners. Where's the cleaners? It's called an altar. An altar of repentance. You have it freshly laundered. What do you mean? You mean one little sin will keep me out? I didn't say that. But if you're sinning willfully, you better come back to the altar of repentance and you better re-launder that wedding garment. You better get it washed in the blood of Jesus Christ and have it pressed by the Holy Spirit of God. You better get it back on and get it right and begin to anticipate the coming of the Lord. Begin to live like you anticipated. There's one thing to have enough oil initially to burn the lamp, but it's another thing to have enough to prepare for the continual feeding of the lamp. The flame was satisfactory, but the source was defective. Five of those virgins wasn't ready. What's that tell me? And I've said this before, and it tells me this, and it may not mean this at all, but this is what I think. I think probably 50% of the worldwide church is going to be left behind. Huh? Yeah, I believe from right there, 10 virgins, Jesus is very plain, 5 wise, 5 foolish. 5 made it, 5 didn't. 5 were invited in, 5 were shut out. 50% of the church very likely going to miss the rapture of the church. Think about that. There's about 40 of us here today, so that means 20 of y'all ain't going. Well, it's possible. I don't think it's that way. I believe our church, the majority of our church is ready. But can I be very perfectly honestly frank, as my father-in-law would say? He used to say, let me be perfectly honestly frank. Just say what you're going to say, Carl. That's what y'all say. Just say what you're going to say, Pastor. There is somebody here today, more likely than not, within the sound of my voice, is not prepared for the coming of the Lord. Do I know who that person is? Or persons? No. I don't. I can make a wild guess and hurt your feelings. I don't know that, but I mean just statistics. Reality would tell us that there's somebody here today that's not ready. I hope you're all ready. I pray that you're all ready. But there could be somebody that's not ready here today. We need to get ready. We got to be ready. The return of Jesus demands that we prepare to shine on the midnight hour. We have no reason to be surprised at His coming. You've heard it preached enough here in this church by me to be ready for the coming of the Lord. You've read it yourself too many times not to be ready for the coming of the Lord. You've listened to song after song about the coming of the Lord. Why are we not ready? Why would we not be ready? Why would we not be expecting Jesus to come? We must be ready. While we are unaware of the exact hour, surely we must recognize that we are in the season of His coming. Jesus is coming. We're in the year 2018. Can you believe it? 2018, and we're already almost to the end of February. We're already over 6 weeks into this month. Can you believe it? Or maybe it is 6 weeks into it. Anyway, this is the 18th, whatever today is. Huh? Of the year. Now I'm confused. We're 6 weeks into this year. All right, there we go. We're going to get it together. I wished I could hit a delete key back there on that computer and stop some of this mess. Here we are, 2 months, almost 2 months, 6 weeks into this year. Jesus might come this year. I thought that He might come last year. Shucks, 1988, I could give you, 88 reasons why He's going to come in 1988, and He didn't come. There were reasons He could come. I was expecting Him to come, but I knew He'd come in an hour when I didn't think it. But He's coming. We've got to stay ready. We have no reason to be surprised. We don't know the exact hour, but we must recognize that it could happen at any hour. Jesus said in John 14, verse 3, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come back for you. If it were not so, He said, I'd tell you. He went to prepare a place for you. That's been over 2,000 years ago that He went away. Don't you think it's time to prepare for that place? Don't you think it's time to expect it for Him to come again? As certain as Christ went to heaven, so will He return and take His followers to heaven. He's coming back one of these days. It's time to prepare by confession, repentance, and reformation for the rapture of the church. We need to get ready for the coming of the Lord. If you're not right today, I encourage you to get right. You've let down, you don't expect Him. Get in the altar again. I don't want to live in 1970. That's the glory days. I understand that. We can't go back to what we had. But what we can have, we can kindle a fire for today. I don't want to go back to what was. I enjoyed those times, and they wore me out. Fact of the matter, it wore me out. But we had a good time serving the Lord. We had a good time in the altar. But we need to rekindle a similar type fire today. The Holy Spirit still moves today. So the raptured church will be an expected church, a ready church, a prepared church. And then thirdly, last, it's going to be a powerful church. A powerful church. Oil in this text speaks of faithfulness, and it speaks of watchfulness, but it also speaks of power. Power. Jesus will not return for less than what he left. He is returning for a Holy Ghost filled, fired up church, like he left in the upper room. In the day of the Pentecost, the Bible says the Holy Ghost came down and lit upon each of them as cloven tongues of fire. Mighty rushing wind swept through the place, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in unknown tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. Jesus told them in Acts, the first chapter, "Go tarry ye in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." I believe the Holy Ghost is still as relevant. Infilling of the Holy Ghost is still as relevant today as it was over 2,000 years ago on the day of Pentecost. I believe today that the church can be a powerful church again if the church once again will fill the oil, their lamps with the oil of the Holy Ghost. If we get full of the power of God one more time, I believe we'd say to see transformation, not just in our own lives, but in the lives of our loved ones and the lives of our co-workers and the lives of people around us, if we would get full of the Holy Ghost one more time, if we would begin to speak in unknown tongues and begin to let the fire of God fall upon us and move and let God move and live and have his being within us, I believe the church can become a powerful church again. I believe Countryside Church can revert back to what it was a few years ago and become a very powerful evangelical tool for this community one more time. I believe it's more than just words of hope from a pastor. I believe we need to get back to that place where that we have received the power of the Holy Ghost, that he has come upon us, and we begin to speak in unknown tongues, and there's signs and wonders and miracles happening among us, and people's lives are being transformed and changed. I think it's time that the church come back to an altar of prayer, an altar of repentance, and an altar of power, and begin to get filled up again on those things of God that we have let lay silent, that we've laid down for a season. It's time to get back to that place. We need to get to where we're no longer an anemic church, but a powerful church. No longer a listless church. No longer unable, halt, and blind, but a church that's empowered for last day ministry. We have been to become too comfortable here at our church. We're not speaking in the name of Jesus to cast out demons. We're not speaking with new tongues. We're not laying hands on the sick like we used to and seeing them recover. We have gotten comfortable in our own skin. Why is that? Because it's easier to do nothing than it is to press in. If we press in, we'll have to go to church more. I remember 2-week revivals around here, an hour and a half preaching each night. And then an hour and a half altar service where people were getting slain in the spirit, signs and wonders and miracles. I remember it. Wearing ourselves out for Jesus and getting out up and going to work the next morning, coming doing it again that night. Just enjoying the presence of the Lord and the presence of the evangelists and more than anything, the power of the Holy Spirit to transform and change lives. We've lost the desire. We've lost the zeal. I want to tell you, church, the raptured church will still be a powerful church. And I, for one, refuse to go down without a fight. I refuse to not get on fire for the Lord. I want to be more on fire for Jesus today than I was 25 years ago when I 27 years ago when we started the church, 35 years ago when we got filled with the Holy Ghost, 45 years ago when we got really gloriously saved. I want to be more on fire for God now than I've ever been in all of my life, because I want to see the coming of Jesus Christ in power and glory forever. Amen. Oh, but we're anemic. the raptured church will begin to fulfill Mark 16, verse 18, when Jesus said, "In my name you shall cast out devils, you shall speak with new tongues, you shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." The raptured church is going to be powerful. And there's no reason why this church can't be powerful. No reason why we can't see things happen. No reason we can't have true faith, righteousness, in the presence of the Holy Ghost. No reason why we can't be raptured when Jesus comes. I sure don't want to be left behind, do you? I have no desire for that. I'm not a tough enough man to go through that. How many of you think you are? Raise your hands. How many want to go through that? I'd rather just toughen up now. Toughen up now and live for Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, it might get tough around here before it gets better. We're under attack. The church, not just our church, the church is under attack. Over in India this past week, in one of the states over there, I forget which one of the Pradeshes, there's two or three Pradesh, you know, there's something Pradesh. They took a pastor and his wife and stripped them down and paraded them through the street because of their faith in Jesus Christ and their refusal to deny Jesus. They stripped them and paraded them through the streets nude. They're killing people for Jesus every day. They're imprisoning them in foreign lands because of their love for Jesus Christ. We have liberal talk shows who are saying that if the Lord speaks to you, you must be demonic or crazy. That's what they're saying, isn't it? Got to be crazy. Mental case. I'm not a mental case. I'm in love with my Jesus, and He's in love with me. He answers me by the Holy Spirit. He speaks to my heart. He speaks to me through His Word. I'm not crazy. Those who don't know Christ are crazy. Those who are mocking and making fun of Him are crazy. We're not crazies. I'm in love with Jesus, and Jesus is in love with me. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I speak in unknown tongues. I cannot interpret everything I say. Very little do I know what I very seldom know what I say in the Spirit. But I know it's of Him. I know He's making intercession for me when He prays for me. I know He's praying a right prayer and a praying in the will of God. So I like to pray in tongues. If that makes me crazy, then I'm crazy. But I don't think I'm crazy. I think I'm a very wise man. And I made a decision a long time ago to serve Jesus. If that means I'm crazy, then I'm crazy. But like Kenny Henson says, you can call me gone, because I'll be leaving. You can call me gone, and you'll be grieving if you're left here without Jesus to call on. When He calls me, call me gone. That's how I feel today. Jesus wants to call me. You can call me gone, because I'm out of here. I'm out of here. Looking forward to it. I want you to stay rapture ready. Stay rapture ready. Stay powerful. Stay prepared. And whatever that third one was, stay pure. Stay ready. Stay powerful. Stay prepared. Amen. Stay pure. Jesus is coming. May not seem like it. It may seem like He's really tarried a long time and put it off a long time, and He has. I don't know when He's going to pull the trumpet out, trump of God, and it's going to sound. I don't know. Whichever one of them angels is going to blow that trumpet, was Gabriel or I don't know. He might be tuning it up today. He might be up there practicing. Say, okay, is that the tune you want, Jesus? Is that what it's supposed to sound like when I blow it? Will they recognize it? One of these days he's going to say, blow it, blow. Jesus is going to step out. We're going to go up. Are you ready? Are you ready? Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father,